And now for the Golden Heart. Speaking of my muses, the Golden Heart holds an interesting position. She's one of the few that I was never actually involved with intimately. Her influence spreads over 50 and one-half poems. The reason for the one-half is I give her joint inspiration on one piece. 49 of those poems are what's called the Golden Heart Cycles. The Golden Heart Cycles is a cycle of cycles written over a very brief period of time. A time in which, realizing my first marriage was doomed by my own stupidity, and also suddenly becoming aware of the fact that my relationship with the Panther was going down the tubes with great rapidity, I was yearning for something perfect. And I had this young protege, Christina, who had her own set of problems. And we talked at length about what we were looking for in life and about inspiration. And just almost like out of nothing came the Golden Heart Cycles. They just took a couple days to write. They were before I'd ever even heard her voice. In fact, in reality, the Golden Heart, Christina, and I have only met once. We shared a couple of sodas near the University of Pittsburgh one February evening in 1996. And at the end of the evening, there was a very chaste peck on the lips. And that was it. But the Golden Heart Cycles in and of themselves have been a subject of great discussion among my readers because of the yearning they show, the desire for that perfect romantic vision that seems to have eluded me either because of twist of fate or my own twisted nature. There are 7 sub-cycles within the Golden Heart Cycles. The first one is entitled Innocence. It opens the cycle with this poem called The Feathers of the Phoenix. Red, shimmering crimson in the wind. Memory is approaching. Saints who sinned in the name of innocence. Penance blessed by a baptism of words. Held to a vest of feathers, bladed shafts of a rare bird, unique in essence, a fresh flight stirred. Christina had red hair. I knew that much of her at the time, although I had yet to see pictures of her. She's actually quite attractive and very sweet to talk to. And if I was not still emotionally bound up in my relationship with the Panther, I would have probably actively pursued a relationship with her. Of course, then that begs the question of whether she would have been interested in this broken-down wreck of a poet. And I'll never know that. But as it went on, the cycles just built upon themselves. The first cycle, Innocence, was literally about concepts of innocence. The second cycle took a more earnest look at the romance called Invocation. One of the pieces in that, which I've always had a fondness for, is Edward Bears His Soul. For those of you who actually have read rather than just watched movies, Edward Bear was the real name of Winnie the Pooh. And Christina told me about having a Pooh doll that sits on the shelf in her room. And I imagined what that doll might see in her room as she grew and went from being a child to a young woman to a woman. I suggest you read it sometime. I'm not going to read it to you right now. The third subcycle is called Memory Shores, and it's about how our paths have affected us how our paths have brought us to where we are. The fourth subcycle is Dreams of the Damned, talking about wanting but still being caught in the cycles of our own conduct, our own desires that kept us from achieving what we wanted. The fifth subcycle was called The Cold Illusions. Largely it's about second chances, about dreaming fresh dreams based on the measurement of our past nightmares. Having made the mistakes, now wanting to rise above them. The sixth subcycle is called The Delta. Now The Delta is interesting because it was seven unabashedly erotic poems. And it's funny, it led to one of the most bizarre cases of mistaken identity. I had shared this cycle with somebody. Must have been a year after I met them. And about a year after I wrote this. And they read it, and upon reading the sixth subcycle, they thought I was writing about them. They became concerned that I was maybe a little too aggressively feeling sexual towards them, and they suddenly cut me off without any contact. And when I finally got a hold of them, they told me what had happened. I said, "Do you have the printout?" "Yeah." "Look at the bottom of it. What do you see?" Copyright 1995. "Right. Copyright 1995. When did we meet?" Spring of 96. "Okay. What does that tell you? These weren't written about me." "Very good." Sometimes all people have to do is ask for the truth to get it. I found most people that don't want to hear the truth don't ask for it. It drives me nuts, but it's just part of human nature. The seventh subcycle is called Consummation and Beyond, and it's about finding fulfillment. And it ends with the poem Bare Feet on a Wooden Floor, which perpetually, in polls of my readers, finds its place in the top three or four poems I've ever written. In fact, for a long time, prior to The Patchwork Skirt of My Love, was forever winning the most popular work. And let me read this one for you. "I ate a daisy today to settle a bet between my child and my wife if I could or would. Daddy is not so ancient that he has forgotten the value of play in the lurking wild of a newly discovered world. Mommy has been patient, but loves and lives for and with this world, and late at night, while our children sleep, goes on a date with me in the kitchen, dancing strange emotions stored in cookie jar hearts that never break. Bare feet on a wooden floor." Where is Christina, the golden heart, now? I have no idea. Very shortly after that one brief meeting in Pittsburgh, she severed all contact with me. Several months later, I happened to stumble across her online. She made some veiled reference to something catastrophic having happened in her life and promised me that she'd get back to me later. That was 8 years ago. I have no idea if she's alive or dead, if I did something horribly wrong, or if I just happened to be a bystander when the train came through. I don't know. But I do know this. The Golden Heart cycles were not based on a total abstraction. They were based on a very bright, talented, and earnest young woman who was able to lend me her eyes long enough for me to see that there were still romantic possibilities in the world. And for that, I'm eternally grateful to her. I hope she's continued with her writing. I hope whether she publishes or just writes for her own venting, that she continues writing because she had real talent, real depth, real soul. And I hope one day to read her works. I hope one day, too, if she's still in the world, run across her. No, maybe we won't sit down for a drink. Maybe we won't kiss. Maybe we won't run off and live together for the rest of our lives. But it would be nice to know that she's still out there. Be nice to know that cookie jar hearts don't break. So that's the story of the Golden Heart. This is William F. Duvall. Have an excellent day.